Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm Nick Houghton of 40%German.com and I'm joined by intrepid co-host Kat and our award-winning producer Simon Josie to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. Hey Kat, hey Simon.
Hey Nick.
Hey Nick.
So listeners, we're going to move on and talk a little bit about a review of 2024 itself and some of the stories that we've covered and some of the guests that we've had on. And yeah, maybe we can bring a little bit of happiness into your hearts as we enter 2025. We will see. Kat, I'll ask you first. Is there a story that you want to highlight from 2024 that you particularly enjoyed?
Yes, most certainly. I've had a reflect over the year and I've decided that the major event was me appearing on the podcast for the first time on April the 6th.
Oh, yeah, that was a really nice event, wasn't it? Oh, way back in April. It feels like you've been here all year.
Well, I was on and off for the first while, and then I became a regular. But it's certainly been an interesting ride through you. I have to say that my awareness of German politics has broadened, for sure.
I'm sorry about that. Sorry that occurred.
Oh, no, I think it's more due to the fact that I've got a captive audience who has to listen to me figure out where I sit with it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we do have to listen. We can't walk away. What about you, Simon? What's your highlight of 2024?
Probably my highlight would be the number of guests that we've had on the podcast this year. And hopefully, well, in fact, I do know from feedback that we've had from listeners that they enjoy having guests on. And so I think we made quite a big effort to get some guests on this year. And that was just very satisfying from a producer's point of view.
Well, well done, guys. You managed to dupe 15 people plus me for multiple episodes. So on that count, you're doing very well.
Hey, I mean, if we're nothing if not snake oil salesmen.
And Nick, do you want to tell us what your favorite story or event was?
I know what Nick's favorite event of 2024 was.
Why about you tell me what my favorite event of 2024 was? Come on, Kat, what do you think it might have been?
I think that it was the Adele concert.
Yeah, I mean, Adele's up there. I haven't really maintained my dalliance with Adele's music. I've added maybe one song to my playlist that I generally skip every time I hear it. That's up there. It's pretty good. I think there's a lot to choose from. I think if I'm going to choose, I've got two favorites aside from Adele. One is a podcast related and one is Germany-wide related. And the Germany-wide related is the legalization of cannabis, because I think it was a really positive forward step that sees Germany move towards something that I think makes a lot of sense for a lot of people, certainly those who require the medicinal use of cannabis. So that's the kind of Germany-wide highlight. My podcast highlight of 2024 actually happened in January, which was Simon lambasting me for when I realized I hadn't actually taken part in Dry January. My assumption, I was one weekend away from completing Dry January by accident, and then I had half a beer, which meant I totally ruined my perfect score. And I would not have realized that until Simon pointed out when I was mid-conversation with Dilly.
Nick, I think either you need to start a bullet journal and get serious about this, or stop publicizing your personal goals.
It wasn't even a personal goal. It was fully unintentional. It just sort of happened for various reasons. I think I had brunch. That was it. We went for brunch and I had half a glass of beer, and then I'd broken my duct, which is not what I wanted. I can always go for Dry January in 2025. I think I'm ready, prepared. I've got the bit between my teeth. I could do it. I'm fairly confident.
See, it's this I could do it. That's the problem, really, isn't it?
It really is. It speaks volumes. I could do it.
That's your level of commitment going to the start of journey. Oh, yeah, I could do that.
I'm concentrating now on having cakeless January, I think.
Cakeless January? Is that even possible? Is that even something that you should do? I think doctors would tell you not to do that.
After dinner and dessert tonight, where we had a gingerbread cake that was like three layers with cranberry and cream cheese frosting, I think I'm definitely going to be having cakeless January.
Yeah, I mean, you sent us a photo in the WhatsApp group. It seemed a little bit excessive, I'll be honest.
But you're giving yourself carte blanche for the rest of the month. So even though you're feeling pain, you're going to push on for what is it? How many days until the 1st of January?
Yeah, not too many days left. I appreciate that it's not going to be much of a window to up my cake intake before cakeless January starts.
There was another thing that happened this year that I thought was super, super positive. The protests against the far right, which kind of organically occurred starting sort of end of January, start of February. We started to see these growing protests across the country as a reaction to reports of a secret meeting between members of the AfD and an Austrian fascist who had offered a lecture or a talk on this concept of remigration, the idea of German citizens being repatriated to countries that they potentially have never lived in. And I think that was a really positive thing for Germany. I took part in a protest. I'm not sure if you guys did, but yeah, that was a big part of my sort of February and March seeing and kind of enjoying the spread of these very positive anti-fascist protests.
Well, we might need to be doing this again next year, I feel. 2025 might be a good time to be a bit more active on that front, especially with the way things are looking. It's good that people got out there at the start of the year, but, you know, it kind of tapered off a bit, right?
I suspect it's something that we could be doing every year, you know, just as a healthy exercise in being citizens of a country is like, do you think fascism is shit? Yeah, let's get on the streets then. Let's say that aloud and proud. But I do suspect you're right. I don't know. I've got so many predictions for about what might happen in February, but I'm wary of giving them since I did predict that the CSU would fail in the Bavarian elections in 2023. And that didn't happen in the way I expected. But I don't know. I mean, I think we always need to be aware of the far right, but not necessarily as vociferously as we were this year. But yeah, I don't know. I think we'll see what happens with the election.
Yeah, I think if we're going to demand of the far left that they stay peaceful, then people like who have normal jobs and stuff also need to be getting there out on the streets so that it's more of a numbers game and being visible, right? Because all that right-wing stuff is very, very loud. So we need to be very, very loud to oppose it.
Oh, I think you're right. I do still have a lot of faith in Germany and actually watching all this stuff that's happening with, because we're talking actually before New Year and it's the weekend just gone has seen Elon Musk boosting the AfD. And I think it's actually things like that really irritate the average German voter as opposed to, I think there's a misunderstanding of what German people want and it's not represented by the likes of Elon Musk. I think there's a natural suspicion of people like him. And I don't think the German election is the same as the US election. It cannot be bought in the same way.
I do think that you're right about that. And I hope that we're both right about that. But I do think there is something inherently different about the German political system. And I think the reaction to it has been, yeah, it's been a weekend, but the reaction has been strong. I guess we're going to see how that plays out, you know. The dust is still really settling, isn't it?
Really, really is. But like I said, I'm confident in my fellow German voters that they will not be attracted by the snake oil that is being sold by the AfD.
I've seen a lot of discussion along the lines of, yeah, even though I really, really don't like Merz, a CDU-led coalition is definitely better than that other option.
I think the CDU rode high at the start of kind of the collapse of the government, as it were, about sort of 2 months ago. And it's noticeable that their numbers are not dwindling, but certainly going down rather than up. They were 37. I think they're sitting about 32 now. And my suspicion is that they'll continue to go down the more Friedrich Merz is in the public eye, because I don't think he's a particularly charismatic person, nor is he a particularly sympathetic person. But I still think they'll end up being the biggest party. But ultimately, they'll be tempered by a coalition partner of some kind, potentially, if not specifically the Greens. But yeah, there's a lot in play at the moment, and Christmas is not the time to make that prediction, possibly. On another political topic, though, that was quite good, like a positive political topic, Olaf Scholz joining TikTok. Have you been watching the Olaf Scholz content
TikTok? I'm not on TikTok. I have resisted. I don't know. Are you on TikTok, Simon?
Yeah, and occasionally, like maybe once a week, I lose like a whole hour just scrolling through. It's so embarrassing.
What kind of content does a guy like you get in his feed?
I'm curious about that too.
A lot of it is clips from English comedy shows like Taskmaster, or actually there's a football one which is really funny, and quite a few clips from the Arsenal women's football team and the Australian women's football team, because I watch women's football. And also recently just kittens and cats. So it's punishing me for watching lots of kitten videos by giving me more and more kitten videos to watch. I might edit all of this out. I'm a bit embarrassed about all this.
Why would you be embarrassed about it? I mean, like, geez.
Well, it's pretty wholesome. It's all wholesome stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, watching cat videos is the most pure thing you can do on the internet, I really think.
I can watch them for hours. Like, I literally do. And it's like, I'm a pretty motivated older person and I spend a lot of time doing creative and productive stuff. But if I just like start looking, it's very difficult to stop. I think we all suffer that.
Kat, do you have like a guilty pleasure on your algorithm?
Oh, yeah. I won't say what it is, but there's like an influencer that I follow and just like silently just hate on her, but only to myself. Never know, right? You're having a bad morning. Oh, how sad for you. But like, I'd never comment or react, but I just follow this person's life and I'm just like, ugh, so irritating.
From which country is this person?
Germany. So yeah, that's my confession. Not saying who it is though.
I don't follow many influencers, so I don't have any influencer algorithm concerns particularly. Do you know what I've got really into this year? If we're talking embarrassing confessions, the thing that my algorithm promotes to me more than anything else, because it knows me so well, is like wrestling, like loads of wrestlers, classic wrestling, modern wrestling, wrestling from Japan. Like, honestly, man, it's like, it knows what I want it. Like, and it's not like I'm bought and sold on it. I'm going to like go and stand at WrestleMania and sort of pay thousands of dollars to go see that. But I've come to believe after a year of being recommended so many Andre the Giant classic videos and Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, but even like modern stuff, you know, I think wrestling is the greatest American art form. I'm so convinced by this concept that it is amazing.
Oh, come on. My heart breaks, Nick. All the poets, all the beautiful poets that have come out of that country.
But it's got that and some, because it plays on so many. One of the things I didn't understand, which I think I have to thank the algorithm for, is the fact that when you watch documentaries about people like wrestlers and like they're interviewed, you learn a lot, not just about the physicality of it, but how much they pay attention to like character arcs and dynamics and the things that attract crowds to an individual. And I remember watching one and it was a wrestler from like the 80s talking about silhouettes and how important a silhouette of a wrestler is, because it sort of speaks to sort of the audience in a particular way. And I find that fascinating. I really find all of that fascinating. So that's my guilty pleasure, is I'm bought and sold on whether it's Ring of Honor or WWE or whatever it is. I'm definitely watching those videos more than anything else on the old YouTubes.
Just to change it into like a positive vibe, the most positive like account that I've been following and watching every day, I think it's called Minute Cryptic, and it's cryptic crossword puzzle clues. And I couldn't do them at the start of this year, and now I can whip through an easy cryptic crossword. I can solve those puzzles. It's quite amazing if you just kind of watch somebody work their way through it.
Mm.
Very interesting. So, yay, I gained a new skill.
So does it just mean you're faster at doing them, or is it like your vocabulary's become immense and augmented?
It's the way that you think when you look at a clue, because most of the time, if you look at it, it kind of looks like a almost harmonious sentence. But often so many of the words are either like a different word for that, you know, like a thing that means the same, has the same word, but means a different thing. Or it could be a word that says, oh, put the next thing backwards or whatever. And to kind of break up the sentence and not take a sentence on its face value, but to look at each of the parts and go, oh, okay, I need something that's going to tell me how to manipulate and some of the information here, which information could be what's potentially trying to be manipulated and stuff. It's just an interesting way of thinking. Have you ever done cryptic crossword?
Not really.
It's hard, right?
I got into like the word puzzles during the pandemic, but do you know what? I think the reason I don't do crosswords is partially because it's my job, and also I feel inadequate when I inevitably get it all wrong. So I let my ego just lead myself out of that direction of things I could be doing with my time.
I've thought about this because in COVID, I started doing usual crosswords, like the typical ones, so not the tricky ones. And then I was like, oh, right, I can't just go get a newspaper and have a crossword in there that I could do. Like, I would have no chance with German crosswords. But just that, it just struck me, okay, right, if I really want to do a good English language crossword, I'm going to probably have to order something from overseas.
And?
I ordered a book, yeah. And then did that whole book during COVID. It was really good. But now I'm into the cryptic ones because it's really, really cool. It's really tricky. And they look impossible, but if you sit with it. But I had, I end up making notes and noting down the different words and other possible words it could be. And there was one clue that I did, and it was something, and it had the words like, I looked at the paper after I saw the clue, and I had like, fire, kill, danger, like randomly written. I was like, I should be really careful about how I dispose of these papers. It makes me look like I've got like terrible plans.
Yeah. But you definitely feel that it's affected your, like you feel it's, you're like you're training, like you're improving as you go, like it's affecting your not your ability necessarily, but it's like a muscle, you're strengthening it.
Yeah, exactly. And I like especially these muscle things where you don't have to know a lot of theory about it. At the end of the day, it really comes down that you do it regularly. And if you do it regularly, you'll get better at it. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that kind of thing.
So do we want another event from 2024 then? For my mind, the biggest event of 2024 was Euro 2024. Definitely took over at least a month and a half of my life and possibly a month and a half of episodes of this podcast.
Even I watched some football games.
You did, yeah.
It catches everybody. It really, really does. And we had Hendrik Brookheister came on the podcast to talk to us about football. We also had Johnny Whitlam. He came on, talked about what was happening in Berlin. And for like a month and a half, it was football crazy, football mad. I really did enjoy all of that, although it did end slightly tragically for me as an England fan. It was a beautiful few weeks.
But as a German fan, it sort of like was the reemergence of Germany. I mean, Germany's back now, right?
I mean, yeah, potentially. We'll see. I think there was a feeling of renewal for sure. There's still bits that need to be improved, but the way I just think it was the perfect tournament because they didn't win it, so that's kind of bittersweet, but also they made it quite far.
And they played well,
and there was new players emerged that we could sort of all fall in love with, and then they went out in a way where no one could be blamed except the referee. It's like the perfect way. As an England fan, I know how to exit a tournament. And if there's a perfect exit, that's the perfect exit in my mind. It isn't just so you know, in the final ever. That's not the perfect exit. That's painful and horrible. Semi-finals, that's a good place to leave, I think. But I'll take quarters.
It was certainly a bit of oasis of calm from an otherwise kind of politically turbulent year, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of planning going on, but not a lot of actual fixing, which maybe speaks to, I don't know, the German condition to a certain extent. We also, I think it was in May, we had the 75th anniversary of the Grundgesetz. That was quite nice. There was a lot of celebration is probably too strong a word, but there was commemorative events, shall we say, for this. But it did seem like everyone was quite happy and proud of the basic law. And it was a nice bit of renewal of support of kind of political system that we have. But then, yeah, and then we moved on to the summer. We had the football tournament, as we mentioned. We also had the Paris Olympics, which I didn't pay a vast amount of attention to. And I believe I was on holiday for your discussion on Brat Summer. I still don't know what that is. People keep talking about it. I know it's related to a singer, but that's all I know. Are we in Brat Winter now? Is that how it works?
Well, no, my whole point about it was that it never really took off in Germany. Everyone here was just like, there was no room for Taylor Swift and Brat, I think. That's what it came down to.
Was it Taylor Swift that was the, I don't know, progenitor of Brat? I thought that was...
Charlie XCX.
That's it. I knew there was an XCX in there. I just couldn't remember what it was.
What I meant to say is that Germany was completely caught up in Taylor Swift fever. And because of that reason, there was no room for it. I think what also happened is there wasn't a real big push in like fashion to get these colours out on the market or anything. Everybody was kind of expecting Barbie Summer number 2. So everything was like bright pink.
Mm.
And then Charlie XCX came out of nowhere and surprised everybody. And I think that the German clothing market wasn't ready for it. So it just didn't get picked up by consumers, I guess.
Yeah, it passed me by, but I don't think I was the intended audience for that. And then I finished the summer quite well with Adele. That was quite a good way to cap quite a lovely summer break that I had. And it didn't really prepare me for autumn. I don't know, autumn seemed a little bit of a letdown this year in Germany. We had those three elections in Brandenburg, I think it was Saxon and Thuringia, which all kind of went a little bit sideways. They seem to have formed governments now, but we're still waiting to see what the ramifications of those elections will be. And how do you feel about the sort of lead into autumn from the summer, and how do you feel about us heading towards Christmas? I mean, you had some professional positives, I'm sure, and some personal positives as well.
It's been a big time for me. I've been in a new career since the middle of 2023, so coming up to 18 months, and it's really amazing. But yeah, I'm still really new in the industry is the thing. And it was obvious to me when I started that I'd need a couple of years to just calm the fuck down, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm somebody who's incredibly motivated to keep learning, and that is demanded from my job. But there's still like a degree of, definitely nervousness on my part, which I think that a few years in the business will definitely remove. So I'm just trying to be really patient with the process, mm-hmm. you know, and not expect everything to be perfect right now, but kind of understand that the end goal is going to be amazing and wonderful.
Yes, that sounds super positive. It's always nice when you go into like the new year with like a lot of kind of plans, even if they're not necessarily kind of hard and fast plans. We've got some exciting ideas that we're looking forward to, but it's always good.
Are you going to build an extension?
I don't think we're going to build an extension. God, imagine the amount of paperwork you'd have to go through for that. No, just like sort of holiday plans and kind of ideas, the stuff at work that was sort of things that we want to do. And it feels like there's a lot of productive stuff to be done. And I think it's just waiting for it all to kick off because Christmas is always, it's not just a slowdown, it's like a dead stop.
It is absolutely a dead stop. I mean, the way it's fallen this year as well, basically mm-hmm. from them, yeah. from half a week before Christmas itself, you can forget about getting anything done until the new year.
It was meant for taking holidays because it meant like there's all these public holidays. You have three, was it like 2.5 public holidays, I guess, in Germany, because you get the 24th, the 25th and the 26th.
Yeah. Was it last year? I think it was 2023 where all the holidays fell really, mm-hmm. really unfortunately.
On the weekend.
Yeah. And we missed out in a great degree. So it was wonderful to have a year where we got to have the most out. Lots of Brückentagen, lots of long weekends. Very good.
Mm. I mean, it was noticeably quieter driving around the roads, like, leading up to Christmas. There's noticeable how few people were out and about on that Sunday before Christmas. And I think everybody's kind of bunkered in and ready to go for like a good few days off. So I'm expecting when they're singing Heilige Nacht, they really bloody mean it this time.
So we wanted to start a bit of a new tradition and have ourselves an award show at the end of the year. So we've decided, in the spirit of Christmas and New Year's and time off work and middle of winter and all that, we're going to present awards to each other. So there are no categories. We've just gone completely freeform, and each of us, including producer Simon, will present awards to the other people on the podcast. So, dear listeners, I hope you're ready for the awards show 2024, Decades from Home.
Okay, well, I want to start off with the award that I've nominated for Nick.
Here we go.
And it's the award for ploughing on despite a complete and utter lack of evidence and facts.
That's so brutal. That is a real, that's like cuts right to the core of my very being.
Yeah. Particularly the ploughing on part.
I feel like I'm being singled out unjustly, frankly. I think if good listeners know, I know they're on my side. They know what I have to deal with on this podcast.
Yeah, it's not a popular vote, mate. Okay. And my second award, my award for Kat, is the award for successfully creating the most unhinged ending for a Decades from Home episode. And of course, listeners will know that I'm referring to the episode in which she claimed at the end to have eaten Dilly.
We have had no official response from Dilly about that, have we, guys?
Well, it's because you ate her, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, no, no. It's not true.
Fava beans and a nice glass of Chianti.
Okay, Nick, your turn.
So I'd have a good think about this. I'm going to do Kat, then Simon. And I was like, well, the kind of awards that I'd expect at the end of the year would be kind of like kind of comedy awards potentially, but also with a tint of seriousness to it. So for you, Kat, I had kind of three in mind. I thought like most patient would probably be a fair shout given having to deal with Simon and I, more Simon, of course.
What the fuck?
I mean, if you've read his email style, geez, very direct. But I thought about this and I was like, well, you've only been on the podcast for a short amount of time, but surely you like qualify for most improved.
That's awful.
Put that down as well. So that's two. You've got that. Tick, tick. Excellent. But actually, I think the award I want to give you is more positive and going on our conversation about things and looking forward to 2025. Most likely to succeed. That's what I'm going to give you. Most likely to succeed. So initially, when I was thinking about Simon's award, I was thinking that Simon could possibly qualify for least likely to accept Nick's bullshit, but he seems to have given himself that award indirectly by giving it to me. So I'm going to cross that out. And I could say he most likely to succeed, but again, having heard the award he gave me, I'm kind of hoping for, like, I don't know, him to stand on lots of Lego and get his junk caught in a zipper every so often during 2025. So I'm going to give him the award of class clown. There you go. You can be a class clown. That's the award. Or podcast clown. That's the one I'm giving producer Simon.
Thanks
well
very
done.
Much.
Well done. Bravo. Fantastic work.
Yep. Super.
So I guess it's my turn, right? I came up with this idea, so I took it very, very seriously. And not only did I think out the awards, but I got these beautiful little handcrafted Christmas decoration ornaments for your guys' trees. So there'll be like a little award ornament that you can take home with you tonight. So,
oh, wow.
First of all, for Simon, we have a tiny magnifying glass, and that is for the award of Best Fact Checker 2024.
Oh, thank
you.
Boo.
Well done.
Boo.
Very proud of that.
Bias. Recount.
And the second award that I've got for Simon of the evening is I wanted to, you know, make a statement and in effect nullify the other award that he got from the other podcast by giving him also the award of Best Producer. And the Christmas decoration that he'll get for that is a little tiny knob like they have on the mixing desk.
Ooh. You said so many things that make me happy, Kat. Thank you so much.
See, you think you're taking the piss, but I'm just like really excited.
So now you got two Best Producer awards in one a year. Ooh. That's impressive.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, then we come to Nick.
I'm not nervous.
You shouldn't be. Okay. So your first Christmas decoration, I know listeners, I can't see the picture, but I'm holding it up. We have a tiny shovel.
I might
and,
need that.
He is the fastest hole digger to get himself out of all his on-the-fly contradictions.
Yeah.
I endorse that award. That's
probably fair.
And your second award, Nick, is for the most inventive use of the English language, for which you are getting this tiny, ornate copy of the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yes. Vindication. Thank you very much, Kat.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
We can look forward next year to a whole lot more made-up words, can't we, Nick?
Hey. All the words I use are either Geordie vernacular or definitely in the Oxford Dictionary. So,
Yeah, with different meanings, as we discovered.
Do you use them at work?
All the time. Do you know the thing that really upsets all the people I work with is that I can't rid myself of the Geordie hang-up of saying us instead of me. So I'll frequently say, give us that. And the people just look really confused. And they're like, you mean me as well? I'm like, no, I mean me.
And they think, oh, this English guy talking like King Charles in the third person by himself. No,
exactly. They must think I'm, maybe the thing I've gone a bit overboard. Power's gone to his head. That's what they say about Mr. Houghton.
I mean, when they get you to teach English, didn't they first ask you to pass some sort of grammar test, Nick?
Do you know what? It's really hilarious. The first time I ever taught English was with a company and I just knew nothing. I knew absolutely nothing. I said the word smashing about 175 times in 2 hours.
Do you know the parts of speech and stuff?
Oh, well, I mean, now, yeah, of course. I guess. I work at university. It would be a bit terrible if I didn't. No. Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, you just said that you scammed your way in, so I don't know how far that trail of deceit went.
No. I mean, I wouldn't scam. I think the whole business English environment's a bit of a swizz.
The complete faculty is just accepting your blind opinion of what
the
English language is.
I think a verb is, I mean, the stuff that catches you out, there'll be stuff like gerunds, like that'll always catch you out. Things that you think look like a verb, but are really a noun. Like, so they're verby nouns. So it'll be like swimming pool is a good example. That swimming is not a verb, it's a noun.
And what's it called?
It's a gerund.
A gerund.
So you've got like, so.
Is that a Geordie made up word?
No. You can look up the word gerund. Don't worry. It's not only in the dictionary. There's a lot of content out there. But no, it's nouns that look like verbs. So it'll be either in use or in kind of the suffixes ing, which is what you'd expect to see on a verb, not on a noun.
Are you sure? What about traffic jam?
Come on. I'm not
traffic
here.
Jamming?
What do I mean? Like, traffic jam.
Trafficking jam?
Traffic jam is first and foremost, which one are you saying is the verb and which one are you saying is a noun? Because I would have said they're both, that's the noun.
I think everything can be a verb these days. Didn't we discuss just 2 weeks ago, performing?
Well, that's it. It's when you start dealing with state verbs. So then you've got the situation where you I'm loving it. You can't loving anything. You can love something. And you can't be hating anything. You can only hate things.
And that's hate on something.
But that would be, I guess, a phrasal verb. So that's fine.
They continued hating something. I continued hating something.
But you can't ever be hating anything. That would be incorrect.
We can hate something, though.
Yeah, you can hate something. But you can't be hating anything. And you can't be believing anything. You can only believe things. But that's only if you follow the rules as strictly and assiduously as some teachers might want you to. But if you're thinking about vernacular speech, then you can do anything you want. You can say, we was playing football yesterday. And that's vernacular speech, isn't it? So, welcome to my TED talk about English grammar.
It's very interesting, Nick.
Don't you think one of the greatest aspects about learning another language is you start to appreciate the grammar of your own language?
Yes and no. But you start to see the failings, I think, more than anything else. There's beauty in it, of course, in those failings. But
well, it's only since learning German that I've been able to pick all your English apart.
I mean, you don't pick it apart. You're a bit of a snob. That's all. You just don't like you don't like slang. So I understand, or you don't like vernacular or dialect. So absolutely fine.
I would say, firstly, Simon, you're pulling Nick up on his grammar, but it's actually more like the facts that are usually wrong when you pull him up rather than a thing. But yeah, okay, he sometimes introduces words into the conversation where none of us have heard them before and can only take it on his face value that they actually even exist in that context. And I don't know, where are we going to take our stand on that, Simon? How do you feel? Should we get a Geordie dictionary?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I'd certainly be interested to peruse a Geordie dictionary.
Nick, do you know where we can get our hands on some Geordie dictionaries?
I'm sure I can find you a Geordie dictionary. There's plenty online.
The alternative is you watch from the 90s, maybe the 80s, Arvidesein Pet. There are a lot of Geordies in that drama series.
I'm always a bit cautious about watching stuff from the 90s because a lot of stuff is kind of unwatchable now. I don't know.
I'd watch Our Friends in the North. It's six parts, I think, but it's got Daniel Craig in it, and it's got, what's his face? Oh, man, what's he been in? He was in Doctor Who. He was the first Doctor when they brought back Doctor Who. I forget what he's called.
Oh, Tennant?
No, one before him.
I can see his face, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah, yeah. It's got him in it. It's got a few other people you'd recognize. And it's about the Northeast in the sort of 70s, 80s and 90s. And it's much better than Arvidesein Pet, I would say. It's a bit more modern. But can I take us back to twok, just since we're here? Would you accept an Urban Dictionary definition of twokker?
If it's an Urban Dictionary, we are willing to hear you out.
Right, so twokker is a joyrider or car thief, as in taken without owner's consent, written as twok on a charge sheet, which twok apparently means 1 second, taken without owner's consent.
Yeah.
And so we've got that, but it's also a Northern English term describing those also commonly referred to as chavs and townies. So twokker, or so there from twokker, you would get twokked or twok, to twok, the verb.
Yeah, but it's only a car that you're stealing, right?
I know, but I think it's in general use. I think twok is more.
But what you think and what is written in the Urban Dictionary clearly aren't the same thing. So that's the whole issue here, Nick.
I think if you went to Newcastle and said someone's twokked my car, they would know exactly what you meant.
I think we need you to go to the Urban Dictionary and to write this as an entry. And I think it works like Wikipedia, right? Like it'll just get deleted if it's not right.
Ooh.
You put it in there and see what the public reaction is.
That's the true test. Will Urban Dictionary allow me to keep it in their in their annals? I'm Next not entirely definite. Convinced.
And if you get it in there, how legendary is that? You can put that on your bio.
I'm not sure.
Producer Simon might actually shut up after that.
That's motivation and a half, isn't it? That brings us to the end of the show. Happy New Year, listeners. We wish you good luck and happiness in 2025 and whatever may come. If you're enjoying the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and can really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck us some stars that way as well. Retweet us, share a link, or post with the hashtag DecadesFromHome or lowercase on Twitter. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article or topic you'd like us to cover, you can tweet Dillion at DillionAlgema and Kat at DBishDimmerin, and you can tweet me at 40% German, and you can also go to the Instagram at DecadesFromHome. You can also get us on decadesfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40%german.com. Weekly articles are up here every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks, and bis zum nächsten Mal. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Do you want me to redo the outro, Simon? Because isn't Nick a little bit tiddly?
Yeah, a little bit. You can do it if you want.
No, it's just a joke.
I know, I think it's warranted.
I'll fix it up in post.
I don't think you will. That's what happens when you drink before the podcast and during the podcast and potentially after the podcast.
Well, you moved me to drink tonight, and it's a rare occasion. So.